Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, last night's RTE Investigates documentary has laid bare degrading, dehumanising and at times callous treatment of residents at two nursing homes run by Ireland's biggest nursing home provider, Emmi's. The Health Information and Quality Authority has suspended admissions into one of those nursing homes, and the programme has led to calls for our entire model of caring for older people to be reviewed. We'll have a listen now to a clip from the show last night. This highlights the treatment an elderly resident with dementia in the Benevan Manor nursing home in Glasnevin in Dublin. And just a warning before we hear it that some listeners may find this upsetting.
Seeing the man's distress, our carer attempted to diffuse the situation.
I don't think we walked down here. Okay, we'll go for a walk. Okay, we'll go for a walk down here. Yeah.
No woman.
That's okay. We'll go for a walk down here and then we'll maybe go to the bathroom.
But he was forced into his room.
Keep walking.
And his trousers and pad yanked down. Before being pushed into the chair.
That's from RT Investigates last night. Well, I'm joined by Ronan Collins, who's a consultant geriatrician who featured in that programme, and also by Liam Doran, former member of the Sláintecare Implementation Advisory Council and former General Secretary of the INMO. And Liam, I want to come to you first. You watched the programme last night. What did you make of it?
Oh, Claire, your heart would break if you had any sense of humanity in you. I suppose I was trying to sum it up. Shame. Shame in a wealthy country like this leaves our elderly folk in that situation. Utter shame. Anger at the failure of staff to do what they should be doing, whether they're qualified professional nurses or whether they're healthcare assistants. What we saw was just totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Frustration that this flawed policy that has been implemented for the last 2.5 decades or so has brought us to where we are, because we've introduced private healthcare, which has profit as its major motivation. And in care of the older services, where you have to have integrity and you have to have an ability to respond to the ever-increasing demands and needs of the gentle old folk that we have to care for, that left me frustrated. And the Weasley words that's being said 20 years ago, nothing's changed, being said this morning, that angers me as well. And then I think sadness at looking at people who have served this country, have worked this country, and have shown fortitude much more than the modern generation. And that's how we treat them. Shame, shame on all of us, Claire.
The Minister for Older People, Ciarán O'Donnell, was on Morning Ireland this morning, and he said, and he was at pains to point it out, he said it a couple of times, 87% of the homes audited by HICWA, he said, are compliant and provide great care for residents. Do you share his faith in that figure?
Absolutely not. And I would say back to the Minister, gently but forcibly, compliant with what, Minister? What exactly do we have in place, underpinned by legislation, with regard to the care of the older people services, that ensures that care is being met? We don't have minimum standards. We don't have legislative skill mix between registered staff and unregistered staff. We don't have guarantees about occupational therapy. So what are we compliant with? I mean, I've seen a lot of these comments about they're compliant. Well, what are they? And when they're not compliant, what are they not compliant with? Because there are no standards for care of the old. There's words, and I can read out to you now one of the words, the standards that HICWA have: at all times there are sufficient numbers of staff with the necessary experience and competencies to meet the needs of residents and which reflect the size, layout and purpose of the service. Well, I have to say to you, I have no confidence that as a uniform norm we have that type of staffing structure in place in our private nursing homes across the country this morning.
Yeah, I was looking back at what Mary Harney said back in 2007 when HICWA was set up in the aftermath of the Lees Cross scandal. And she said at the time, I can't guarantee it won't happen again, but I can guarantee that it will be picked up quickly because HICWA is there and these audits are happening. That's what she said.
But you see, Claire, the difficulty is here is that we have a flawed model leaning into the private, which, by the way, leaves us strategically vulnerable, because of all these private providers left tomorrow because they weren't making enough profit, what would the state do? We would have a total crisis. But parking that for a moment, we have a model here where ultimately private providers, whose primary motivation for moving into this industry is profit, are the main providers of care. Now, the state tries to guarantee a floor of standards there by the provision of a watchdog, HICWA. But HICWA can bark at these providers, but it can't bite. Because if it bites, if it closes services down, the provider of last resort is the state. And the state has never shown a willingness to be the main provider. So You have a situation here where to a very great extent, and I'll say it straight out, to a very great extent, entities that are in this for profit can face down the watchdog and can face down the state, safe in the knowledge that there are minimal other options for the 100 residents they might have or the 50 residents they might have. When you have that type of flawed structure, which is even worsened by the absence of legislation guaranteeing minimum standards, whether I'm private or public, there should be a guaranteed skill mix between RTN and HCA. There should be guaranteed provision of occupational therapy services, access to outside activities, all of that. And we should also have nursing homes. Mm-hmm. This hasn't been mentioned, but we should also have nursing homes, which minimizes the unnecessary transfer of elderly people to acute hospitals where they're left on trolleys and so on. This is elder abuse in its very full form. We should be able to skill mix those care for the elderly services so that we can look after such things as IV infusions and blood transfusions, first dose antibiotics, because we need to grow into that type of service because of the huge growth in elder care coming in. But what we say at the minute is cheap service, and a state that is absent without leave in terms of looking after its elderly citizens.
All right, Liam, stay with us because I want to bring in Ronan Collins, consultant geriatrician. And Ronan, as I said earlier, you were in that programme, you were watching those clips and giving your reaction. But this morning you're talking to a population who saw it, who are, as Liam said, upset, angry and very worried. But imagine if you have somebody in that care system, particularly when it comes to the inspection regime. Should they be worried? Are people justified in being worried today?
Well, clearly one can't say they can't be worried. I'm worried myself. But that being said, I would also say from my personal experience, some of this is intuitive feeling, of course, that all the nursing homes I've been in personally, I can honestly say that I felt that the care was of a good standard. I feel aspects of the care could be better in terms of the amount of aesthetic and joy and meaning we give to people's lives and the twilight years. I think that model could be improved upon. But I think last night's expose probably gave us real food for thought that maybe this is more widespread than we believe. I think I would agree with a lot of what Liam has said, but you know, outrage must be channeled into change. And I personally believe that we need to have a proper commission on nursing home residential care in Ireland. I think that commission obviously has to have the Department of Health and the HSE in there as the, if you like, funders and guarantors of the standards of care. More crucially, it needs older people and their advocacy groups in there as the key stakeholder to define what that model should be looking like going into the future and what, you know, nursing home care should and shouldn't be providing. We obviously need the expert gerontological multidisciplinary team being represented in there to inform the process, and that includes informing the regulation, because regulation in its own does not mean good care, because it has to be regulating the correct things. And then, of course, we need the providers of nursing home care in the room itself. Now, I have to say this, there is a wider societal discussion that needs to happen, and we keep on kind of putting our head in the sand about this, and, you know, be it Lee's Cross, be it the report into nursing homes during COVID-19, and we're not really grappling with this. And I think Minister O'Donnell this morning on the radio probably is getting the sense that he needs to move this into a formal commission. For example, we are going to need about 1,500 extra nursing home beds a year for the next 25 years to meet our demographic challenges. The chances that you, Claire, or myself, or Liam Doran are going to need nursing home care, even with an emphasis on maintaining people at home is probably of the order of 1 in 3. And so we need to get this model right. Now, how do you fund building that type of expansion in nursing home care beds? What should that model look like? Should it be that big, if like hotel type model we saw last night? Or it should be more nestled greenhouse design nursing homes within people's communities. How do we staff these nursing homes and what value do we put on the staff? I also was conscious watching those clips last night, notwithstanding the poor care. And at times, maybe one or two occasions, maybe I felt it was being slightly cruel, that there's some vulnerability for the staff involved in this mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, I share that view because I was torn between feeling angry about how the staff were dealing with the clients in those nursing homes. And then on the other side of it, if they don't have what they need to carry out their job and they don't have enough colleagues to help them, then what do they do? And you mentioned burnout as well. You know, working in that sort of an environment, what does that do to a person?
It does, an empathy burnout really, and you're seemingly not caring is usually the result of repeatedly you're suffering moral injury from not being able to provide the level of care you know you should be providing and indeed you want to provide yourself. But if you repeatedly leave an environment where that's not possible due to staffing or to resources, you experience empathy burnout. But mm-hmm. I would also say to society, we need to put value on these jobs, and I mean real value on these jobs if people are looking after most vulnerable people. As I said in a piece in the Examiner today, and I'll be quite strong in this, this work can be joyous, but this work is hard. It's hard physically, it's hard emotionally, and it's hard intellectually. If you're looking after a frail person with complex needs who's on 13 different medications and has different needs assessments, that is intellectually challenging work. And society needs to reflect that it appreciates this work, not just through remuneration, but also through providing proper training and career opportunity for people who choose because of their natural disposition and their natural talents within their personalities and within their makeup to work with our older, more vulnerable people. We have to value this type of work as well.
Can I ask you, Ronan, then, the model of congregated care for profit, are you saying that that is something that we need to now decide whether we continue to pursue, or are we just too far down that road to change it?
No, we're never too far because we need to build a lot more nursing home beds. But if you talk to the provider, first of all, we have about 570 nursing homes in the state providing currently 32,000 beds. And I explained how many more beds we need. That's a mixture of small family-run businesses, small Irish companies, and then more larger investment fund, chains of nursing homes. Now, when you're building a chain of nursing homes, if you talk to the providers, this is not an emotional thing. You know, it's not that these are bad people. These are investment funds. Investment funds deal with a bottom line of how much money, a return are you going to get in 5 or 10 years. Whether it's fresh frozen orange juice, or whether it's gold commodities, or whether it's the care of older people, it's an investment fund. It doesn't have an emotion attached to it, if you understand me. And I say that because I'm not wholly subscribed that that is the best model that we should be going down, particularly after seeing what we saw last night. But I'm also struck by the reality of that. How is the state going to fund the necessary expansion and maybe the desired model of nursing home care we need? And you know what? We also need to have a responsible discussion because many people running these nursing homes and even who are involved in the chain themselves will have been shocked of what they've seen and may not even realise what's happening. And I would just make this final point that in our paper in 2020, the Irish Society of Physicians of Geriatric Medicine called for a wide-ranging change, including the governance of our nursing homes, the staffing of our nursing homes, the research and education and training needed for nursing homes, and the environment of our nursing homes. And if I think if we started looking at that paper published in the Irish Medical Journal in 2020, that would be a good place to start.
All right. Liam, where do you think we should start?
Well, I think, look, I couldn't disagree with what Rona said at all. I mean, I obviously have a fundamental view that we're never too late to turn to a public model where you know, it's cost. The care of elderly people are costly, and the care of elderly people will grow in its cost because of comorbidities and increasing the levels of dementia and so on. Whether we start by having a citizens' assembly about this, because I think we've privatized this area of healthcare without any public debate and without any real understanding of what it means and the growth in this area of care that's coming down the tracks because of the aging population. We have to have a conversation. I think there are certain things we can do in the short term, because if you talk about a commission or a citizens' assembly, it's 5, it's 10 years, it's all those things in gestation. I think it is a low-wage sector. There is a high turnover of staff, and the reality is many of those staff who come and work in private nursing homes may move into the HSE after a while because the wages are better. So I think we do have, but that increases the cost to the provider. So that means the fair deal sums have to go up. But I do think we have to do things in a medium term, but there are immediate things we have to do, and they have to be about the government passing legislation for minimum standards. Mm-hmm. I mean,
this is the adult safeguarding legislation.
Absolutely. But you have to have two people in an elderly care ward at all times, because you saw it again and again last night. I'm on my own. I can't lift you. Or they don't use the hoists and the aids and appliances that are there, and therefore the lifting is wrong and grossly wrong and grossly insulting and demeaning and all of that. And there is no apology you can make for staff who engage in that.
Yeah.
But I think we have to tackle this by moving away from suggesting at the moment we have a level of compliance, which I genuinely and sincerely believe we do not have. And the only way we'll get compliance is by underpinning all of our policies in elder care with legislation, which makes it mandatory to have proper staffing levels, training, recruitment and all of that. And the government can do that in the short term if there's a will, knowing there's a cost. But the failure to address that will mean the type of thing we saw last night will again occur as it did 20 years ago in Lees Cross.
Right, we'll hear more about this later on. Yes, Ronan, do you want to come back in there?
Can I just add one thing in terms of funding? And, you know, I think it's Liam touched on this, what happens, you know, the reluctance of regulatory authorities to close nursing homes because there's no relationship or plan afterwards what happens when nursing homes close.
Yeah.
I witnessed this myself during the cost of living crisis, where many smaller run nursing homes came under huge pressure and either couldn't continue to operate or couldn't implement the structural changes that were necessary under infection control, which created a crisis which mainly impacted on the older residents themselves, you know, who then suddenly were compulsory forced to move. I'm aware of one situation where a woman, for example, due to this domino effect, had to move 3 times in the last 2 years of her life. She moved more times in the last 2 years of her life than she moved in her adult life. And that needs to be addressed. But going back to the funding, here's a novel thought, because we all think the nursing home support scheme is an outmoded idea. We all pay RSI. I don't know what I pay PRSI for, actually. I don't know what you actually get for it. But shouldn't maybe some of our proportion of our PRSI, maybe we need to start this now, needs to go into funding nursing home care or home care packages that we're all likely to need in the future. And maybe a proportion of that should be started to be put into that fund. But I think the whole system needs an overhaul, and I think Mr. O'Donnell will respond to it.
Okay, well, listen, that was very clear from what we saw last night. It certainly does need an overhaul, down to the basics of reusing protective gloves, no sheets, no incontinence pads. It just was staggering, absolutely staggering. Thank you both, Ronan Collins and Liam Doran. We will hear more about this, including reaction from Minister Peter Burke, who'll be with us next.